This morning we're going to be reading out of 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 16, and we'll be there in just a few minutes if you want to find that and put your finger there and hold that spot. It's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 16. Title of the message this morning is Enjoy the Season. It's important, isn't it, that we as Christians, that we have joy in our life, isn't it? If we don't have joy in our life, then we're not understanding what Christianity or what Christ has done for us, have we? And certainly this time of the year, probably more than any other time of the year, those around us are open to the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're open to hear it, open to understand it. And that's here in our society still. Now, they're somewhat trying to take that away, so we don't know how long this window of opportunity is going to exist. But we need to take advantage of it. We need to find that joy, and that's what the sermon's about this morning. Do you enjoy these holiday seasons? Are you enjoying the season this year? If I'm talking about my situation or my family's situation, I have to admit that this year is difficult. It is. Because our greatest advocate, I guess, if you will, for the season is missing this year. She's not here. But that's how life is, isn't it? We don't give it much thought until it happens to us. But that truly is how life is. The truth is, this planet is sin-cursed. It is cursed by sin. The lives of its inhabitants are often fragile, fleeting, and painful as a result of that sin curse that's on this planet and upon this flesh that we walk around in. Am I succeeding in preparing your hearts and minds to enjoy the season? You know, when I got saved, one of the most important thoughts or one of the most important things to me was that Christianity had to be real. It has to be real. I'd spent most of my life before that trying to prove that it wasn't, you see. I'd spent most of my life trying to find the little holes in your armor or Christian's armor. And most of the time, I was pretty good at it. Most of the time, I could get in there and let that flesh out. And I've shared with you before, but the reason that I did that was so that I, as a person that was lost, and I didn't know I was, as a heathen, if you will, and I didn't know I was, but I was, and I was pretty good at it. I felt better when I could find something wrong with you as a Christian, when I could get you mad, when I could get you to curse, when I could get you to act silly, when I could get you to let that flesh out, I felt better. It didn't make me feel so bad if I could find a little faults that you had. When I came to Christ, that was one of the most important things to me. Christianity had to be real. It had to be real. It wasn't going to be something that I just did. It wasn't going to be, I'm a Christian now, I'm going to church, I'm going to start to dress the way they dress, I'm going to cut my hair the way they do, I'm going to talk the way they do. That's not what I wanted. The last thing I wanted to be was a hypocrite. Because that was what I used to always try to find in every Christian that I knew, was that hypocrisy. Now, I would love to tell you I've been walking with the Lord all these years and none of it's been there. But you'd know better, wouldn't you? Because no doubt you've seen it in me yourself. We struggle, don't we? We struggle with the flesh. We struggle against the flesh. We struggle with sin. Because this planet that we walk on is cursed by sin. But Christianity had to be real. I mean, Christianity or the gospel of Christ, it is real, isn't it? It is the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord of lords and King of kings. That's the truth. Whether I always live like it or you always live like it or the world around us sees it or not doesn't make any difference. It doesn't change the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God in the flesh is who he is. That's never going to change. It's the truth. So as a Christian, we want to endeavor to live it that way, don't we? We want it to be the truth in our lives, don't we? That's what I'm getting at here. That's what I'm trying to explain. Maybe I took the long way there, but that's what it meant to me. It had to be real. It had to be the truth more than anything else. The truth says that this world is cursed because of sin. It also says that we as Christians were sinners saved by grace because of, through our faith in God's grace. That's how we are saved. There's nothing I can do to add to that. Nothing. I am totally dependent upon it. Do we understand that as God's people? We are totally dependent upon what Christ did. The Bible tells us, this truth that I'm talking about tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus himself told us we can do nothing without him. What's Christian about us? Christ in us, right? That's what's Christian about us. We can do nothing without Christ. We are totally dependent upon him. No matter our circumstances, no matter if we enjoy the season this year or if it's not quite as much fun as it was last year, it doesn't change who Christ is. That's the truth. That's what God's word says. Then why do you think that we as Christians think, believe, and act as though Christianity should be a walk in a park, I guess, filled with rose gardens and maybe even rainbows and unicorns? Why do we think that? Why do we think that when we come to Christ, everything's okay and everything's going to be okay? What do I mean by that? Church, the truth is, the park we as Christians have been called to walk through, it definitely doesn't have unicorns and rainbows. There is one that lights up the sky every once in a while, but it also has dark skies, doesn't it? It does have roses. It does. There are a lot of things in this world that are beautiful. But those seemingly beautiful flowers often are only hiding very painful and very long and sharp thorns. Also hiding most often a roaring enemy who would or will devour us at his first opportunity. Just looking for an opening so that he can wipe us out. Okay, have I succeeded in preparing your hearts and minds to enjoy the season yet? Truthfully, if we've been in church for very long, we've no doubt seen people that have come to Christ, haven't been walking with him very long, seen something go wrong in their life, and maybe something else, and something else, and something else. And pretty soon they say, this isn't what I thought it was. And they turn and walk away, don't they? The truth is, when we come to Christ, when we convert to Christianity, when we give our lives to Christ, when we are born again, a line was drawn. The whole time I was walking lost, I was serving the devil. I absolutely was. Now, if you'd have been a Christian, it would have been a mistake to tell me that, because I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand any of this truth then. I didn't have the eyes. I didn't have the mind. I didn't have the heart. I didn't have the faith. But after I came to Christ, it was obvious to me who I'd been walking with, who I'd been serving. Because all of a sudden there was a division between me and him. And I've said it before, Steve Brown says, you left the house this morning, if you didn't bump in the devil, don't take that as a blessing. That might mean you're walking in the same direction. You're walking with him, right? You ain't liable to bump into him if you're walking together. That's the truth. That's where I was at. When I gave my heart to him, there was a division there. For the first time, I was spiritually alive. I was born again in Christ. And everywhere I looked, that son of a gun was there. Everywhere I looked. Things I used to do, things I used to see, things, something as simple as turn on a radio or the TV, he was there. I didn't know that before. But he was. And also, for the first time I understood, he was my enemy. That there was a battle going on. There is a battle going on around us. Satan is trying to take as many as he can with him. Don't ask me to explain it. He's just hateful. That's what he wants. He wants us to suffer. He wants us to suffer for all eternity. All eternity. When we come to Christ, the world doesn't turn into a walk in the park. Unicorns don't pop up. Rainbows aren't in everybody's pocket. This world is cursed by sin. And the fact is, when you step over that line and step away from him, you start bumping into him. He starts bumping into you. He'll make things go wrong in your life. He'll start attacking you at every opportunity he can. Because just like I did when I was his servant, he starts trying to find every little crack, every little hole that you have in that armor that the Lord gives us. And when we first come to Christ, if we've been in church for very long, we've seen people, haven't we? That as soon as things start to go wrong, they're like, well, this don't make any sense. It's not even better than it was before. They're just not getting those roots. They're not getting deep enough to understand it. They're not getting deep enough to understand that this world is a fallen world. And bad things happen, right? If you've been with, you might have even, if you've been in church long enough, you might have even witnessed a few long-standing saints who either sit down and stop working or sometimes even turn and walk away because something happens to them that they can't bear. Something happens to them that they never thought would. Some of you know what I'm talking about because some of you experienced it as well. We know we're in his hands, right? We know that everything that comes to us comes through his hands, don't we? Well, sometimes that doesn't make sense. Sometimes the thing that comes to us doesn't make sense at all. We can't get past it. Sometimes we see people quit. Sometimes we see people walk away because they can't get past it. I don't know who picked the songs today, but thank you. They were wonderful. They cleared my throat, too. Those were some songs. But you know, they were the truth, and they align exactly with what I want to say today. It's what Betty prayed. Sometimes when things don't make sense and things happen that we never thought could, sometimes those things are when we look for God the hardest. Sometimes they're when we grow the most. If we will just stand upon the promises and the truth of his word, not listen to the lies of the enemy, but cling to this truth. Because he's promised. He promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. That's his promise. Directly from his mouth. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Church, sometimes that has to be enough. What does any of that have to do with our enjoying the season? It's not cheering us up, is it? I believe it happens because, as I said, Christians, we're still sinners, saved by grace. Anybody here doesn't ever sin? Anybody here overcome it? As I understand this truth, we're not going to until we get there. Now, we're supposed to be endeavoring to. We're supposed to be pressing on to that mark we've been instructed to. The mark is Christ. as I understand his word, when we get there, we'll be as he is what his word says. At that moment, won't none of us be have any problem with sin, will we? But we struggle and we have things happen because of sin. And I believe realizing that truth and that dependence upon God, because I can tell you, there's not one of us here this morning that is not dependent upon God. Because there's not one of us here this morning that would ever see heaven's glory except for Jesus Christ. The only thing Christian about us is Christ in us. The only reason we're going to heaven is because of what Christ has accomplished. The only difference we'll make any difference in the world around us is what he accomplishes in us. And maybe I should even say what we allow him to accomplish in us, because we're the biggest block in the way. I think that has everything to do with us truly enjoying and even understanding the season that's upon us. Because the truth is, truth says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. That same truth, God's word, says believers are to trust in the Lord with all their heart, or your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. If we understand that we're sinners saved by grace, and that then in understanding that, we know we haven't arrived. When bad things happen to us, we would also understand why we have that inclination to think that God's forsaken us. Because we're flesh, right? Flesh and blood. We're human. We still struggle with sin. So why wouldn't we think that, right? But when we have his truth, we know that that's a trick of the enemy, don't we? The inroad that the enemy has in our life is this. It's us. It's our flesh. It's our mind, our human understanding. That's why the Lord told us not to lean on it. It's that way that seems right to a man. When bad things happen, we feel like somehow God missed it, or somehow God doesn't care. And that could not be farther from the truth. Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So many times that part of that verse of Scripture gets left out. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. Now when we see that, we think that's why we need an umbrella, but the truth is rain was important. And the verse is a little different than what we look at it. Rain was important. If you're dependent upon the land to live, whether it's watering your sheep or growing grass or crops or whatever it is, rain is important. He's telling us there that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. You walk through this muck. You're not perfect yet. You won't be perfect until you get there. You grow more and more and more and more dependent upon him, and that's how you press on to that mark. You don't grow independent in Christ. You grow dependent. Same truth says, Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, that you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Sounds dependent, doesn't it? And I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Finally, in 1 Peter 1:6-9, this same divine truth says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If I only enjoy this season, when or if the circumstances of the season are enjoyable, then aren't I leaning on my own understanding? And aren't I really enjoying the circumstances instead of the season? And if that is what is taking place, aren't I missing the reason for the season in the first place? And are the joy of the enjoyment? Christmas is important. You're not going to find it in here. But the reason we celebrate it, you will find in here. He did come as a child in a manger. Completely vulnerable. To me, that's a testament more than anything else of who he was. The whole world would have wanted to have destroyed him. And he was a baby with a very young girl and a carpenter to watch over him. And he grew and became the Savior that his father intended him to. The world couldn't stop it. The enemy couldn't stop it. It's the reason for the season. Like I said, you won't find it in here. And I know some people don't think we should celebrate it. But I'll tell you this, I will do anything I can, short of sin, to get somebody to see the truth of Jesus Christ. Because the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. There is no more hope. There's no other place where we can go for any answers. The only hope that we have as human beings is Jesus Christ. This world is sin-cursed, has been ever since the garden. You go back in Genesis, that's what you'll see. It's cursed. God told him, if you eat of it, you'll die. And that's exactly what he meant, that they would die. He didn't mean, I'll kill you. Some people see it that way, but that's not what he said. Sin brings death. The wages of sin bring death to us. The only hope we have is Jesus Christ. I'll do anything I can to get you to see that. I really will. It's that important. It's the most important thing that can happen to any of us because we're hopeless without him, completely hopeless. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 16. See what the truth tells us. Paul said, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom he be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Are we enjoying the season? Pray with me. Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've allowed us yet once again to gather here today. We thank you, Lord, for each individual that's here. We pray, Lord, that you would walk amongst us. We pray, Lord, that you would touch us through your Spirit as only he can. That you would cause us to feel the love that you have for us, the thoughts and intentions that you have for us, to know, Lord, that you died in our place, that this place that we live is cursed by sin, and each and every one of us are guilty of sin. Help us to understand, as we never have before, that you've paid for that sin for us, because you loved us with a love that we can barely comprehend. But Lord, I pray that message go out today, that you seal it into our hearts and our minds, that we would know that we know that we know that you love us beyond anything, that you love us so much that you left heaven's glory to take the penalty of sin upon yourself, that we might go free. Lord, it's that message. It's that message that would give us the joy to enjoy this season that we're entering. It's that message, Lord, that would allow us to live in such a way that those around us would see the truth of your gospel. It's that message that I covet today. In each and every one of our hearts, Lord, we stand before you looking up. Lord, bless as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've mentioned her before. I still don't remember her name. And actually, if I'm being honest, I'm not certain that I ever knew her name. But I will never, ever forget her smile. When I get to glory, I will recognize her by her smile. I'm certain of that. She contracted polio as a child, as many children of her era did. And it had all but destroyed half of her body. In her teens, she became pregnant outside of marriage, as I'm certain other teens of her era did. But it was an era where it wasn't nearly as acceptable as it is now. It was an era where sometimes girls got sent away when they became pregnant because there was so much shame and dishonor involved. I don't know when she found Jesus, but I know she knew him. She knew him when I met her, that's for sure. And I know that because she shared with me, she completed college. She became a teacher. And she raised her daughter and put her through college. And she saw her daughter go on to teach as well. And she told me she did so by simply leaning upon, trusting in Christ to see her through. By the time that we met, she was in the nursing home there in Herculaneum. She was in a wheelchair. She had a feeding tube. Looking at her life through human understanding, we wouldn't say or proclaim that that was icing on the cake, would we? She'd lived her whole life trusting Christ, her whole adult life, dependent upon him. And that was her circumstances. In a wheelchair, bound to that wheelchair, on a feeding tube. I know she'd made mistakes, but she'd overcome them and all that life had thrown at her through Christ. She really didn't deserve to go out under those circumstances, did she? Not through my understanding, she didn't. That human understanding. Not in the way that seemed right to me. But even though I can't remember her name, the reason I share the story is the same reason I will never forget her. One morning, and I'll be honest, I was just trying to be polite. I was trying to be an encourager, I guess. I asked her how she was doing. She answered, "I'm happy in the Lord." I was walking on by her when I said it, you know, going on to the next person. As I turned and looked at her, I knew she was. Because you could see it in her face. She was truly happy in the Lord. Just a tiny little thing sitting there in that wheelchair, covered up almost to her nose. But she was happy. No circumstances of this world could steal her happiness away. because no circumstances of this world had given her that happiness. Her happiness was in Jesus Christ. She knew he was her only hope. He had never let her down. Her happiness had nothing to do with this world. She could truly enjoy any season because she knew the truth. She knew the truth of Philippians 4, 11 through 13. She said, Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's where she was at. Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She knew what John said in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. John said, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Her joy wasn't in circumstances or situations. She simply enjoyed the truth. She knew whom she'd believed and that he was able. And that was all that was important to her. That's where her hope and her joy lied. She was truly happy in the Lord. If I'm being honest with you this morning, I always try to be. When I first met her, I felt sorry for her. I really did. And I probably wouldn't even have looked back if she hadn't said what she did. Like I said, I was just trying to be an encourager and just trying to make conversation as I went to get somebody else. I just asked her how she was doing. After I got to know her and experienced the joy that she was feeling, I really felt sorry for myself. I feel sorry for us because we let our circumstances dictate how we feel, don't we? She did not. She was in a place where she didn't have anything to stand to or hang on to, or she just had to trust the Lord. And you know what she found in trusting the Lord? That she was happy in him, that he gave her joy. I really feel sorry for us. Can we enjoy life the way that this lovely little lady did? This little saint of God? Can we too be happy in the Lord no matter what our circumstances are? Scripture says we can. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Acts 10:34. Whatever that lady had found is available for each one of us. God's not partial. He loves us all, right? How do we go about it? What would that look like? This week as I prepared, there was a song that kept coming over and over my mind. It wouldn't go away, so I decided I'm going to share it with us. By a young artist, he's young to me, Chris August is his name. And I'd like us to listen to it and see if it might give us some insight as to the how and what of enjoying this season that we're entering.
Beautiful. Oh my God, I can't.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I'm not, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with the Apostle Paul, but I do believe there are one of two things we will all carry with us from this world. We will possibly carry the sin that we are all guilty of, or we will carry the forgiveness that we found in Jesus Christ. But we will carry one or two of those things. In truth, whether or not we enjoy the season, I really think depends upon those same two things. Where our joy's at. He talks about the money being the root of all kinds of evil, the love of money. That's not just money. It's the things of this world in general. It's life itself. It's all the things that the circumstances of this world that we find joy in that are all passing away. If what we're clinging to and what we're holding on to is of this planet, we're going to be sorely disappointed. I think it's the same thing that we're going to leave the planet with. We're either going to leave with the sin we're guilty of, or we're going to leave with that forgiveness that we found in Christ. But we're going to have it with us when we leave. If we lose our life lost in sin, that's how we're going to be found in Christ. We're going to stand before Him not as a Savior, but as a judge. If we found that forgiveness in Christ, then we're going to stand before Him and we're going to hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." Not because we necessarily are, but because we know Him. And what we're clinging to and where our hope resides is not on this planet. It's the same thing that either gives us joy or takes our joy away. The same two things. If our joy is set in the things of this world, there are going to be times where we're going to be disappointed. Because everything in this world is passing away. Nothing here is permanent. Nothing. We're all going somewhere permanent. Every one of us. This life isn't all there is. We're going somewhere. We all have that inherent knowledge within us. I know we do. We know we're going somewhere. He wants us to spend eternity with Him. That's why He told us the love of money brings this into our lives. Sorrow. One thing about money, about the only thing it's good for is spending, isn't it? Don't make much of fire. It goes pretty quick. Don't put out much heat. Just kind of fun to spend, isn't it? But when you spend it, it's gone. One thing I've discovered about money, I've never cared much for, is probably why I don't have much. It won't make you happy. Now, being without it can make you sad. Ain't no doubt about that. But having it don't necessarily make you happy, does it? There's only one true source of joy, and that is the one who created us, because that's what we were created for. We were created to have joy in Him, to have fellowship with Him. Please don't ask me to explain that. I don't know why anybody would want to spend eternity with me. I really don't, but He does. He loves me that much that He wants to spend forever with me. For all eternity. But you, O man, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Understand that that fight's not with them as much as it is with us. That fight takes place in within each and every one of us. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which He will manifest in His own time, He who is the blessed and only potentate, which means sovereign, or which also means supreme, or unlimited, or boundless. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. I guess again, in truth, whether or not we enjoy the season depends upon our source of joy, doesn't it? That little lady in that wheelchair, there was no reason for her to be happy. None at all. It depends on our source of joy, because if Christ isn't our sovereign Lord, it doesn't really matter what we have or what we don't have. We're never truly going to enjoy anything without Him. I didn't know what love was until I met Christ. I didn't know joy until I met Christ. I walked around with a chip on my shoulder all the time. I thought everybody thought they were better than me. I didn't understand that I thought they were better than me. But the night I gave my heart to the Lord, for the first time in my life, I knew I was as good as anyone. That was joy. I never knew that until I knew Him. So, in closing, has the Holy Spirit succeeded in preparing our hearts and minds to enjoy the season? In truth, there is only one way that we can make any difference in this season or any season. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. If the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart, has placed something upon your heart that you need to pray about, we have an altar up here. That's why it's here. We're going to have a song of invitation. That's why we call it that, because it's an invitation. You come with whatever need the Holy Spirit's placed upon your heart. I'll meet you here. Somebody else might meet you here, but that doesn't, I hate to say it doesn't matter, but it's not what's important. The fact is, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will meet you there. He will make the changes in your life. He will either take away or heal or whatever. But He's the only one that can do it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Christ. Would you all stand, please?